So now I'm just going to go back and summarize because we've covered a lot. And then we'll probably have a few minutes left for questions. So, we clean the room and we set up the shrine as the first of our six preparations for meditation. Then we made offerings, okay, and we got these offerings in a pure way. So they weren't dishonest in terms of our motivation, okay, and they weren't offered with a wrong motivation, example, for to get a good reputation or to impress somebody else. And second of all, they weren't offered by getting the materials by wrong livelihood, okay? In other words, by creating negative karma to get these materials, or by flattering other people to get them, hinting at other people to give us things, giving them a smaller present so that they'll give us a big one, by coercing them, or by acting hypocritically. Okay, in other words, we've procured the materials that we offer in a very pure way, and then we've offered them with a pure motivation. Okay, so that's the third one. Then, sitting in the eight-point posture, okay, in a positive frame of mind, take refuge and generate bodhicitta. So the eight-point posture, seven are positions of the body, and then one refers to our attitude, our mental attitude. So the seven of the body are our legs, okay, preferably in the Vajra position, but if not, in some way that's comfortable. Then upright body, level shoulders, our hands, our eyes, our mouth, and our tongue. Okay? And then the eighth one is our mental attitude, being a balanced state of mind with which we are then capable of taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. So, to get to this level state of mind, we need to check our mind when we first sit down to meditate. If our mind's distracted and scattered and running after objects of attachment, then we need to do the breathing meditation to calm down. If we're impatient and we're angry, we need to meditate on patience. If we are falling asleep, then we need to meditate with light or drink a cup of coffee before you meditate, so that then we have a balanced or a neutral state of mind with which then we can go about visualizing the objects of refuge. So I described the complicated visualization where you have one large throne with five smaller thrones. On the center one, you have your root teacher in the form of the Buddha. In the throne in front of the Buddha, you have your own teachers in their actual form. On the Buddha's left, you have Manjushri and the lamas of the profound lineage. On the Buddha's right, you have Maitreya and the lamas of the extensive or the vast lineage. In the back, you have Vajradhara, which is one tantric manifestation. So around these five smaller thrones, but still on the one big throne, you have circles of meditational deities, of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Arhats, Dhaka Dakinis, and Dharma protectors. Okay? Then you have your mother on your left, your father on your right, people you don't like in front of you, all sentient beings around you. You're leading them all in taking refuge. And so you spend some time to think about why you're taking refuge. So you're doing it first with a sense of caution or dread about all the miseries and perplexities of cyclic existence, and second of all, with a sense of confidence in the Buddha Dharma Sangha's ability to guide us. So we know that our suffering, our problems are caused by ignorance. We know that the wisdom realizing emptiness is the way out. We know by developing this, we can purify our mind and attain the cessation. So we take refuge in the Dharma. That's the actual refuge. Then the Buddha is the one who taught it. The Sangha are our helpers along the path. So we turn to all of them to take refuge. Okay? And so the sense of caution or dread, the sense of confidence, and especially because we're trying to take Mahayana refuge, a sense of compassion, a wish to attain enlightenment, and that some conviction that it's possible for us to attain enlightenment. So we take refuge with the wish, you know, to really be able to lead all beings to enlightenment, to lead all beings to actualize the refuge. Now, and then when you're taking the refuge, you know, you imagine as the light is coming, you know, from all of the refuge objects, but from whichever one you're specifically saying, you know, whether it's the gurus, the Buddha, the Dharma, or the Sangha, you imagine more light specifically coming from them. And this light does three things. It purifies, it gives you inspiration, so you feel like you're gaining the qualities, and you feel, thirdly, that you're completely taken under the care of first the spiritual masters, then the Buddhas, then the Dharma, and then the Sangha. If this whole complicated visualization with the big throne and the five thrones and the concentric circles and all that is too much for you to visualize, and by the way, when you try and visualize, don't expect to have all the details crystal clear. If you just get a basic general feeling of where everybody's sitting, that's good enough. Like when you're at a party, you can't see the people behind you, but you have a basic feeling of who's behind you. Okay, so like that, you know. Be gentle with yourself. Don't worry about, you know, whether they have blue eyes or brown eyes. Okay, but get a feeling for the objects of refuge. If all of that is too much, then you can just simply imagine the Buddha and imagine that the Buddha is the essence of all the spiritual masters, the essence of all the Buddhas, the essence of the Dharma, and the essence of the Sangha. Okay, so you can concentrate completely just on the image of the Buddha as the embodiment, the essence of all three jewels of refuge. Okay?